Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks, 4341790. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Not too bad. Greetings and salutations to your great self.
Thank you.
Mr. Vikram, sir, it's always nice to be in a conversation with you, especially when it comes to calling a poll, where your professionalism should not be undermined. A classical example, the Guyana election, where the world is still awaiting a result. And come November, it'd be nice to make comment on the U.S. results to that of Guyana's. And now to my conversation with you, sir. As a member of the Anglican Church all my life, there are certain ecclesiastically speaking that I like to have a conversation. The man who really wants to do something finds a way. The other man, an excuse. Since the late Dean of St. Michael and All Angels Cathedral, the Reverend Gordon Hazelwood, left the cathedral, there were Canon Dean Harold Critchlow, Canon William Dixon, the Reverend Frank Marshall, and now the Reverend Dr. Jeffrey Gibson. Without doubt, sir, the cathedral is nothing like what it used to be when reflecting an all-male choir under the direction of the late organist Gerald Hudson and Dr. Fletcher, respectively. Dean Emeritus Canon William Dixon tried to restore the cathedral, but time were against him in trying to refurbish the rundown St. Michael and All Angels Cathedral. Canon Errington Messiah, retired Anglican rector of the St. Joseph Parish Church, an excellent teacher, a good preacher and writer, should in one of his weekly columns outside the public bring us up to date after consultation with the Royal Dean for the St. John, Senator the Reverend John Rogers, on a starting date for the rebuilding for the Church of St. Joseph. The first year anniversary for the Reverend Michael Bruce St. John Maxwell went before fanfare on January the 26th, 2020. I know without doubt, sir, that the Honourable Professor Sir Henry Fraser, GCM, MBBS, MRCP, PhD, FACP, FRCP UK, after very hard work on behalf of the Church of England, would be very interested to know what plans the Lord Bishop of Barbados has for the continuation for the refurbishment for the St. Michael and All Angels Cathedral. The future plans for the Bishop's official residence at Bishop Court and the building for the Parish Church of St. Joseph. I was first introduced to Professor Henry Fraser in November 2004. And after researching his profile on the call-in program for years, I was lobbying for he and my friend Bethel to be knighted. I am more than pleased that both are knights, the Honorable Professor Henry Fraser and the Honorable the Reverend Therese Hall. Honors well deserved. Thanks for your patience, sir.
All right, and sir. Thank you very much for your contribution. Like you, I am a... Well, I should say like you. Because I think I'm a little different to you. I'm an admirer of church buildings and the beauty of church buildings, even though I have no intention of attending a service in any of them. But I do admire them, and I do think that it is important that buildings like the St. Michael's Cathedral be maintained and be preserved for the architectural beauty and the cultural enrichment and value that they provide. So I'm always supportive of that. The challenge is always regarding these matters, who's going to pay for it? And I do know that in Europe, what has happened in many instances is that many of these buildings are maintained for the church out of the public purse. And the agreement is basically that the church gets to use them for their own purposes, but they have to be available to the community for other purposes of a non-secular nature, which is a reasonable agreement to make under the circumstances. But I have always felt that the challenge that we will have in terms of the going forward is that the congregations are getting smaller. More and more people are becoming like me and less like you. And as time passes, it will be harder to maintain these buildings, especially as they age and they become a lot more expensive to maintain. And you have fewer people contributing towards the maintenance of them. So that will be a problem. And I think perhaps in later years, we can deal with that fairly effectively in the same way that the Europeans have, by designating a lot of these churches as cultural centers. You can use them on Sundays for worship, and they can use them to play table tennis on Tuesdays. And everybody's happy, and the buildings are maintained out of the public purse. What do you think? Down to brass tacks, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Vickham. How are you?
I'm great, sir. And yourself?
Not too bad, as usual. Mm-hmm. Still as steady and stable as I was last week when I spoke with you.
Good. Steady and stable.
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah, it says steady and stable. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I want to ask a question. How is this social distancing going to affect relationships with husbands and wives?
You can't socially distance from your partner. If you live in the house of the person, the understanding is that you shouldn't.
But can it be done? Or it can't be done then, because
I think it's going to affect your relationship with your outside woman or outside man, as the case may be.
How would it affect your outside woman?
Because if you live with a wife and you are socially distancing, then theoretically you should not be going by your outside woman and bringing anything home to your wife.
But if you go to work and come home with your wife, what about maybe the distance there that you can apply?
But you don't maintain a social distance, presumes that it's a social distance from someone with whom you are not intimate. So family members are intimate with each other in the sense that they live together and they share space. So social distancing should happen outside of the home. And the argument is that if you leave and you go to work, you socially distance from your colleagues. You shouldn't bring anything home to your wife. The problem is that if you maintain a wife and an outside woman, and you go by the outside woman, you clearly are not going to socially distance from her. The presumption is that she may or may not have other partners. You may very well be one of many, or alternatively, she may have a family of her own. So the argument is that for the time being, at least, you know, you should retain one partner with whom you are socially intimate. And then, you know, when the 3 months passes, you can resume normal relations with whomsoever.
But Peter, we're not talking about HIV. We're talking about Corona.
Right, so precisely.
They say even in your workplace, they want you to come home from work where you're intermingling with workers that work in...
Yeah, but you're not supposed to intermingle with them. The idea is that you should not be... There are people in this building that I hug whenever I see, right?
Do you?
Right, I do. Right, I've stopped doing that.
I stopped, yeah.
And it's difficult because ultimately a lot of times your colleagues are your friends and you want to hug them and embrace them and whatnot. You don't do that.
Right.
You know, so social distancing means that. But you decide, okay, you draw a line regarding your wife and your children. So you maintain the same level of social intimacy with them. But certainly for everyone else, you should be able to go home and come back. There was a doctor who was interviewed on television recently who said that social distancing means that when he is at work and he comes home, he takes his clothes off in the garage and he showers. Yeah. And then he comes in and he interacts with his family because he wants to make sure that he leaves everything behind. Clothes and you know, whatever he wears, his scrubs and whatnot. He leaves it in the garage, he showers, and then he comes in.
Peter, I will tell you why I really...
What was your concern, though?
My concern is...
I know you ain't gonna outside woman, so...
Yeah. We know that, you know, right, that. Yeah. There's 2 decades now. 2 decades, clear, and going to the church. Now, this came up because I had the privilege of, on this same radio station, 2 weeks, in this radio station, 2 times, I heard it mentioned about sex workers. Mm-hmm. Now, I want you to interact with me with that. How does a same-sex worker present a threat, and a threat to who? To themselves or to who they're doing business with?
I would say both.
In this particular case, now with the corona.
Both. No, but sex workers should be on leave.
Should be on leave.
You can't be doing sex work in this environment, realistically.
Because you're getting too close, or is the act of sex?
Nobody get. But the point is that how can you have sex with someone at a distance? It's not like HIV that you can put on a condom. So the point is that even in terms of a brothel, right? Mm-hmm. Going into a bar or a brothel, nobody should be doing that now because there's just too many people that you're interacting with. So social distance means that in the same way that I'm being told some categories of workers, for example, a person who's run bars need to go to business for the time being, then I would say the same thing for sex workers. You need to take leave. The problem is that a sex worker can't apply for unemployment benefits. I think they should, but unfortunately they can't. But they will unfortunately find it difficult to work. And I'm a bit appalled that people would actually be considering sex workers or sex work in this environment where the danger of you infecting your family is so high. You know.
But you know the sex workers have the family too to work for.
And I agree with you, but...
So what do they do now? What they do now, well, if they say come off the streets now, come off the streets and do what financially?
What does a person who sells sweeties at a school do in this environment?
What do they do?
Because the school closed down early, so you can't sell sweeties to no children because there are no children to sell sweeties to. Right. What do you do?
Well, that's the point I made. Now,
So the sex workers are joining other categories of workers. For example, in the United Kingdom, they have closed all non-food related establishments. So people who work in shops that sell clothes are out of work. They have the same problem as sex workers.
So what sort of help they're getting?
Well, that's a question that I do feel is a legitimate question to ask because I'm self-employed as well. No, I'm fortunate in the sense that I don't know if my longevity for the time being will be affected by this. But the challenge, I think, for a lot of people who are employed independently is that in a situation like this, especially if you work month to month like most of us, you know, this will lick you up because you can't pay bills. And that's the reason why my understanding is that there's a moratorium on like water bills and so on. I don't know if electricity is going to be the same way. If you're not earning anything, they're not going to cut off your water until you catch yourself.
Right. Do you think that the sex workers should be able to register somewhere?
I believe so, sir. But I've said that all along. I think that a sex worker is no different to a person who sells sweeties at school.
I mean, now, what should they do now?
I can't see how, under the local circumstances, we could accommodate sex workers at this stage. Because the fact is, because they have not been registered and they're not recognized, their work is still deemed illegal.
But there are a lot more other people who are not registered that will be taken care of. To the extent
that sex workers have water bills, they will get a little bit of relief in that regard.
From where?
Well, because the BWA is saying that for the time being, you won't have to pay your water bills.
What do you mean the bills? What about food?
Yeah, but that's a challenge.
So what is your recommendation at this point in time?
But my recommendation is that going forward, we ought to recognize sex workers' work. And I think that a sex worker should be treated no differently to any other independent contractor.
No.
The problem is that's something for the future. That's not something for now.
But they have to live now.
Yeah. Well, maybe so they can go into agriculture for the time being.
Man, no, people who have registered with national insurance and working, that are being laid off, they're getting $600 a month.
Yeah. I got you. You're making a strong point, you know. It's just that it's a point that we can deal with retroactively.
So what would you suggest that the government do now for them? Because their work will be slowed down. They may be only standing on the streets at night and they're not getting any clientele. Mm-hmm. So what do you do? Let us look at them.
Well, I do feel that we are going to have to identify support mechanisms. And I know that this is receiving the active attention of the government.
Yeah.
Mechanisms to support independent contractors and people who have essentially been locked out of work. So all of those vendors that sell clothes in town, they're going to be hit. Yeah. Right? A lot of the people who are independent contractors and other ways that sell products and so on. I met a lady recently who sells spices. You know, she just moves around and she sells spices. In this kind of environment, you can't be coming into people's offices, you know, selling products like you used to one time. That will change. So we need to have a series of initiatives that will help all of those people. And the sex workers will get a little break in between there too.
Well, let us make a call this morning for a government to do something for these people, even right now, because their trade is going to dwindle, like the fast foods and the restaurants. And their trade probably would dwindle too as well, according to what we have just been speaking about.
Yeah.
You may not get a lot of men going to participate as they were last month, a month before. So we need to put something in place for them. If they're not getting any trade at night, what do we do to help them? That is my call this morning.
Yeah.
You see, because a lot of people seem to think when it comes to sex workers and same-sex workers, as our father called many years ago, that the police should move around Coleridge Street and Penfold Street and rake them up and put them in a van and dump them somewhere, which is your man, Burns, the man who mentioned that many years ago. And he coming out to say, knew some sympathy for the same-sex workers, which is good. But he doesn't like same-sex workers. So he better keep off the radio talking about same-sex, about sex workers, because he doesn't like same-sex workers. They are workers too.
Yeah, I got you. A couple of people have commented on your contribution. And one person is saying that the sex workers could register as entertainers with national insurance, because technically, especially ones that dance, that's essentially what they do. They are entertainers. And another point he's making is that a number of sex workers, certainly I did hear about this in terms of Belgium, that a number of sex workers have been working online more, have been using online facilities in this period to supplement their income. The problem is that the online thing doesn't work for a lot of people. So I don't know. I don't know if that is really going to be a reasonable thing. And the other point too is that sex work primarily benefits from people having surplus income, because in most instances you're not going to take up your grocery money and go and use it for sex work. So sex work thrives in an environment where there is excess income. If we're going into a period of need, we're gonna have challenges where, you know, people who are in those kinds of industries are concerned. I mean, on a serious challenge. The good thing is that everybody having challenges, so my assumption is that all of we can be catching the same way.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
so that's my call this morning. So I hope that some of the callers may be able to develop it and see how they can get help in this present time.
Yeah, okay. All right, sir, thank you so much for calling. I have a couple of WhatsApp messages I wanted to read. Just seeing there. Don't let this guy go into the muddy waters regarding social distancing. Cut him off. I ain't taking on you on that. Then another person sends me a note about the fact that the cheating husband caught coronavirus on a secret trip to Italy with the mistress, and he was quarantined. His wife had absolutely no idea. And this is the point when I made that I think that the outside women and outside men story should take a pause for the time being. Peter, I hope you and your family are safe. Gentlemen's questions tell me that some Barbadians do not understand social distancing. It will sadly be the death of some people. Morning, Peter. You hinted at the Bible this morning. Kindly note that one day is 1,000 years in the eyes of God. Based on that alone, the period from the onset of the Spanish flu until the current pandemic is not even one day. Can you grasp that concept, Mr. Wickham? Peter Wickham, you and Glenn are the ones who are illogical. Opening the borders for few who can most likely endanger the lives of your entire population is not logical. I'm sorry. The ill old adage that better off safe than sorry should not be taken lightly. And then finally, Peter, I am having a problem with your knowledge of up-to-date news regarding COVID-19. Are you aware, sir, that 17 days after all passengers disembarked for the Diamond Princess, the virus is still being found on objects in rooms of that ship? Your assertion that everything will be okay after the first 14 days is absolutely false. This is a person who feels they know a lot. Okay, let's say the corona is slowing down crime in BIM. Is it that it's slowing down crime, or is it that it's slowing down the reporting of crime and the detection of crime? Because a lot of times the police are overwhelmed dealing with other things and unfortunately don't have the opportunity to do what they need to do. Okay, we stop there for now when we go back to the radio and say good afternoon, good morning, and welcome to Down to Brass Tacks.
Hi, morning, Peter.
Morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm well. You opened by mentioning that you, based on last week's program, that you're open to correction and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But based on that second last message you read in relation to the Diamond Princess and stuff still being found on it.
But I don't know if that's true. Is that true?
That's fair.
Right. I don't know if that's true. I haven't corrected myself. I write what the person said.
I corrected myself. All right, spring. Give me an opportunity here to get through a few points. But just on that matter, I wasn't saying it is true. I'm just saying that it may make one pause in light of if that indeed could be the reality, that we may need, obviously, to pause on the thinking in terms of the borders. But that said, that caller just now made mention of sex workers and saying sex workers, right?
Yes.
I'm not here to debate in my head. I just wonder where the distinction. If you're a sex worker, do we need really to debate whether or not you're same sex or heterosexual? Maybe you're a sex worker. Mm-hmm. You know. So to make a distinction, I don't really see it as a necessary.
Me neither.
Right.
Okay. But it's him that said it.
We understand each other. Right.
I think his point, though, is that one is stigmatized more than the other. Perhaps that is the concern.
That's fair. I agree that is the reality. I'm just saying that. Sometimes when you put it out in the atmosphere, you always, obviously, the narrative is maintained.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
All. Mm-hmm. Right. But what I reach out to you about? Now, let me see. I guess three points there. I give you that the finance companies, I heard this morning on the CBC news that the credit unions have now taken a position to relax mortgage payments for the next 3 months, and they'll have a review after that with the possibility of 3 more months being added and relax the position on the principal. And they're cited because it's going to be a very challenging time for people, which is a reality, right?
Right.
What I did not hear is the interest, because as you well know, and many would know, the interest is what you tend to address with loans, not so much the principal. And I'm just saying that if you're telling me because of challenges that I'm having, you're going to relax my payments beginning at 3 months and possibly 3 more after, then, but you're still going to maintain the interest. I understand that it's a business you're running and it's running for profit. But the fact that you realize that I'm going through a challenge suggests to me that the challenge will still be there as it relates to the interest. So, and I do understand, as I said, these are businesses that are being run. But in light of the fact that the government is just short of 2 years being in office, I remember the government relaxed corporate tax in order to create and foster a more active environment in business, right? So I would like to think that if corporate Barbados, the credit unions, and all everyone on board is working together, I would like to see that there's some flexibility on that score, because you've gotten significant relief in terms of your taxes and your corporate taxes, which means that you're supposed now to be more profitable and put back some of that to expand the economy. Now, if it means then, for example, that you were going to be receiving $16 million at the end of the year, your financial year in projection, and in light of this circumstance, you're going to make $7 million, I would want to believe that you will say, well, we're still profitable, not at the margin that we wanted, but that was a circumstance that we couldn't control.
Yeah.
So not to bog down and get too long, I'm going to move on to the next matter now.
Interesting point. I do feel, sir, that there's a point of negotiation. When the banks tell you that they give you a moratorium on payments, does that mean a moratorium in terms of penalties and fees? And will the interest still continue to accumulate at the same rate? I'm not really sure which is which.
Right, but that's one thing. There's no
clarity. So there needs not only to be clarity, but I think that when we know the full extent of this thing, we can probably do a better job of looking back and saying, what relief needs to be offered. Because yeah. I think that it's better to do that at the end. The point is that for now, we should say to people, use your money to buy food. What money you have, use it to buy food. So things like mortgage payments, you know, don't make that a priority. Use the priority to buy food. When we are at the end of this thing and we understand the dimension of it, how many weeks you had to or how many months you had to be without work, then we can start to negotiate back and say, well, what are you going to do with interest that was accumulated in that period? Is it opportunities to write that off as well? And can we get some consensus and agreement? The finance companies right now, quite frankly, think that we have them in a good place as opposed to the other way around. Because I think that they understand that the vast majority of us cannot do better. So that gives us bargaining power that we would not have had before. Because you can't foreclose on the entire country. Yeah?
Well, figure not forgetting, got two more things to one.
Sure, yo, go ahead. You go ahead.
But just on that point, right? Mm. Just support what you're saying in terms of we having them reasonably in a place that more favor us, the consumer, than them. The reality is that these are businesses and businesses group left. And my thinking is, if you were short, let's say, by $7 million in projected profit in Lake Vegas development, I just don't want that next year, 2 years from now, you're putting systems in place to recover that because, again, their investors want return on their investment. Yeah, I'm saying that the government, in the short 2 years, is giving a lot of flexibility when it came in terms of a reduction in corporate tax. And I would like that the companies recognize that and give back the reason what, you know, they can. And this is the point. Next thing.
Yeah, okay.
Our Minister of Tourism made a comment last night, right? Well, they saw it last night about the opportunity, potential opportunities from the cruise ships being here and not being told to push on. Now, I have no problem personally with the cruise ships. Visually, I like the sight of them where they are, but I respect and understand why they're there. However, to suggest, Minister, that there's opportunity potentially that these cruise ships will look back and think, well, let's add Barbados as part of our summer itinerary and still perhaps going to the Mediterranean, like they currently do, his words, and that is factual. Or their summer is our hurricane season, and the cruise ships do not come in this direction because of the hurricane period. One, two, that's litigation potentially. If you have passengers and something develops in the Caribbean and they cause death or injury. So I don't suspect that that would be a consideration. Just tell me that we are home port and we are maintaining good relations. And at this point in time, you're confident in health services and their ability to protect the citizens. But don't tell me on what you told me last night. Because
fair enough.
You're,
so right. That's 2 points. What's the third one?
Right. And the last point now, the Hyatt Hotel here on Barbados today, the developer Maloney is saying that they will move forward full steam ahead next month. He said that they're going ahead with plans as projected right now, in light of what's going on. He said that, and I quoting, we will be moving forward with the intent of getting rid of the old Cracker Building, the other warehouses, and stacking up the infrastructure to go forward. I believe that Darren Wilson would prevail if this thing develops further on his part and his team.
But you don't want the construction to start, no? Period?
No, no, I'm saying he made an absolute statement that he has going forward next month, and I'm saying...
Right, I got you. So you don't want it to start, period, or you don't want it to start, no?
I want it to start, and I want that. I would like now the government and the Sandals through the Beaches Project in the north to sit at the table if they're not currently doing. Sandals right now is closed, are projected to close at the end of the week, which means that there's significant revenue being lost, there's job follow, right. Obviously. Okay. And I'm just saying, Peter, in a nutshell, that...
You're happy to see it move forward.
I want it move forward, but I want the opportunity now to be given that there's lost in revenue for Sandals, to the government, again, to get back to the table, see where they can find middle ground to move forward, because lost revenue can't be recovered. But I don't want Mr. Maloney to be so determined after 5 years to get this thing moving forward at the expense of health. I believe better judgment will prevail as things develop. Thanks for your time.
Okay, thank you so much for calling, sir. We take a break and come right back. Welcome back to Dawn to Brass Sats. A couple of messages again. The suggestion is that persons who are experiencing financial hardship can approach welfare And regardless of what type of work you do, we can approach welfare for assistance in that regard. So perhaps that is one option that sex workers can pursue. Another interesting question related to the disposal of cat feces, and a lady was saying that she disposes of cat litter. And she was asking me to ask Alf what was the appropriate method for disposal. My understanding up until this point was that for cat litter, which of course would be mixed with the kitty litter, would be cat feces and urine, that if you wrapped it in paper and then you wrapped it in paper and then you put it in a plastic bag which you tied, you should be able to dispose of it in the garbage. The problem, however, which Alf seems to be pursuing, is that we are looking at reducing what goes into the garbage in the first place. So if you're looking to reduce it, then that being biodegradable can go into the garden if you dug a hole. There's no reason why you can't do that. If you're not in a position, like if you live in an apartment and that's not an option, then I think that the disposal method that I outlined would be appropriate. Suggestion of closures in the hotel industry. We have a few WhatsAppers that are speaking to that, and they're asking if there are any facilities available or being created to essentially restart the tourism industry, because we appreciate that at this rate, the tourism industry will be dead in a few days, if not a few weeks. So many of the WhatsAppers are asking about initiatives to restart the tourism industry. And I would say to you that give time, because I think it's difficult to expect that government is going to be able to roll out a comprehensive policy to neutralize and react to the virus and also to deal with the question of recovery in a short space of time. I think they've done reasonably well in terms of giving us initial initiatives that speak to short-term compensation mechanisms and ability for people to cope. But for sure, when this is all done, we need to begin to look at the issue of recovery. And then, of course, to this person who is sending me all this information on this 17-day virus that remained in rooms on the boat, I'm not quite understanding what exactly is your point. Do you think that we should chase the boats from about here? Is that what you're saying? I'm not really understanding it, because I do get the impression sometimes that persons like yourself feel that you need to send information because you want to prove me wrong or right, and you think that you have achieved a great success by being able to say, yeah, you're wrong. The point of the matter is that you're dealing with about 12 cruise ships. It's an expensive piece of merchandise. It is sitting offshore. What do you think that government ought to do under these circumstances? Do you think that because they can hold on to the virus for 11 days, that we should tell all of them to leave our shores immediately? What exactly is the point that you're making? Down to brass tacks. Good morning.